From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio, and we're joined today by a first name that a lot of people will recognize. Larry Sobranek is the namesake of Larry Fest, and it takes place on his farm and has for many years. His brother Dan Sobranek is a musician of note and is here with us as well. And Larry Liebel is with us as well, and he's involved in Larry Fest. So two Larrys and a Dan, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thank you.
Hi.
So we're promoting the upcoming festival and talking about its history, of course, just over 25 years of Larry Fest. Larry, tell me about Larry Sobranek. Tell me about that first Larry Fest. I guess it wouldn't have even been called Larry Fest at that time, would it?
It was not. It was called Bohemian Glen Bluegrass Festival, I think. And that's because that's the name of our farm.
Bohemian Glen. Okay. It's a maple syrup farm. Is that?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what prompted the idea to have musicians just come and play, or was it just a gathering of friends and family, or how did that work out?
Well, my brother Doug and myself went to Telluride, Colorado, and to a bluegrass festival, and went to watch the big, there was top big name artists, and went to see them, and they were all playing rock music. So we decided we could do better than that. So we tried it. Our first festival, we didn't even have a building. We just had some poles up and some tarps and car lights, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if we had electricity even.
I don't know.
So.
Dan, you were, I'm assuming, there at the beginning, because family always ropes family into helping with stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, so I've been in a band called String Ties. It's a bluegrass band. And we started the same year as the Fest. The Fest, actually, the first one was in 1998. And so our band String Ties has been a part of Larry Fest since the beginning. We've played at every one so far. So, yeah. But the first one was mostly friends and family and a few musicians. It started very organically. Maybe 50 people came or something like that.
I mean, I know you do what you can to keep the crowd manageable so everybody can have an enjoyable experience, but how many people come now?
Well, we sell, our max is 900 tickets is what we sell.
Okay.
So we've, you know, that has fluctuated over the years. I think the year of the flood in 2007 or 8, whenever that was, we probably had 1,500 people there, maybe. So we scaled it back, and now we have an manageable number of folks come. So 900 tickets.
Larry Liebel is here as well. Larry, how did you get involved with this project?
Well, I grew up next to Larry Sobranek. He and my folks were good friends and next door neighbors, and started working for him. And I actually live near the Wausau area in Schofield. And I come back home here to La Crosse quite often. And I ran into Larry, and he said, "You should come to this fest. It's named after you." You know, he's jokingly. And at that time, I was going to Bow Falls Blues Festival up in Wausau the same weekend every year. And he made me shake his hand and promise him that I would show up, and don't worry about tickets. There'll be tickets waiting for you. And so I came down, and no tickets waiting for me. And so I use this phrase that a lot of people use during the festival is, "Well, I know Larry." And they use that phrase to gain favor or
to get into the fest
Well, anyway, it did work at that time. I was persistent enough, but when I came here, I was just blown away. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. The venue for an outdoor festival, how clear everything sounded. It's a natural amphitheater here, and I often say it's the happiest place on earth for 3 days of the year.
Larry, pardon an observation from a guy who met you like 10 minutes ago, but you don't seem like a huge self-promoter who would go, oh, I'm going to start a festival and I'm going to name it after myself. How did Larry Fest get that name?
Well, after the first festival, we were sitting at our local bar and talking about it. And for some reason, I went out to my truck to get something, and I come back in, and there was about 10 or 15 people there, and they all had hats that said Larry Fest on it. And that's the first I knew about it. So.
And you hated the idea.
I didn't like it.
It took about 5 years to get used to it. But if I recall, this has been a while back, but somebody, after the first one we did, Bohemian Glen Music Fest, which, you know, doesn't really roll off the tongue. Somebody came in to maybe the bar, the owners, and said, are you going to do that Larry Fest thing again? Somebody said it. And I said, that's it. That's the name.
Larry, when did you first start getting interested in bluegrass music?
Well, it's probably been quite a few years ago, but after country music went to hell. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I would have a hard time disagreeing.
I got more interested in bluegrass and old time. And my brother Doug made me a bunch of CDs or I guess they were tapes at that time.
Now it's kind of a big deal, but maybe back in the day, like, how do you pitch to people, hey, we want you to come and play this festival. It's in Lafarge. And here's how you get there. I could imagine that conversation in the late 90s. Who was in charge of that? Larry, was that you bringing musicians in, or Dan? Oh, have you been part of that?
That was my brother Doug. He's passed away now for the last, about 6 years.
Yeah.
And so he would go to different bluegrass festivals in the South and find bands. He'd bring in a lot of, well, mostly bands that we've never heard of.
Doug would find these bands, you know, it was back in kind of before the computer and all the age of all this information. And he would just go to these little fests and find these up and coming bands and, you know, talk them into coming and playing at our fest. And we could afford them. And all of a sudden, you know, after about 4 or 5 years, it just kind of took off. And it was word of mouth, really, you know. So, you know, you got to come to this thing. It's really cool. And then, you know, so every year it kept on growing. And then just kind of exploded one year.
It's interesting to me that it hasn't become like some big like corporate thing. Like the identity of the festival has been pretty consistent as a grassroots operation run by volunteers. There's a board of directors that oversees certain aspects of it and everything like that. How many people does it take to pull this thing off every year?
We have close to 30 board members. We meet monthly starting around February and ending October. There's a little break in there. And then the volunteers, it's hard to quantify the number of volunteers because throughout the year, we have folks that come here and they'll mow grass or they'll plant flowers. They'll work on some of the lights. They'll do different things just to be a part of Larry Fest. And I would say it's probably 60, 70 volunteers altogether throughout the year and during the festival. You know, we have zero paid employees at Kickapoo Valley Acoustic Music Association. That's our nonprofit that runs the fest. And, you know, it's surprisingly easy to get things done and managed with these folks because they want Larry Fest. They want Larry Fest to continue and they want to be a part of it.
Who are we expecting to see at Larry Fest this year?
Well, we'll go over our main stage act. We have Nick Chandler and Delivered. Art Stevenson, who many of you may have heard of, and High Water. He's from around the Stevens Point area. The Cody Norris Show, a real high energy band that we're excited to bring back. Junior Sisk, who also very, very well known in the bluegrass ranks. And of course, Don Rigsby.
Don's been coming probably for what, 15 years, yeah. I think. So just good friend of ours.
Yeah, and a great musician, a great storyteller too. We have some newcomers, the Baker Family Band. David Peterson in 1946. This is new. Returning closer, Chicken Wire Empire, another Wisconsin band. The Rowe Family Singers. This is Megan and the Birdwatchers. They're down at the songwriter stage. Crooked Willow, Cup of Joe, and quite a few more. And you can check them out on our Kavama website, kvama.org, or also our Facebook page, the Kavama Larry Fest Facebook page.
Okay. And that's KVAMA is the Kickapoo Valley Acoustic Music Association.
That is correct.
All right. That sounds good. In addition to the music, there are a whole host of quirky little things that go on at Larry Fest that make it Larry Fest that people look forward to. I've heard stories about lights and corn and I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Do each of you have a Larry Fest tradition that's maybe a favorite of yours? Let's start with Dan.
Dan does, he does all the lights in the trees, and we replace most of them every year.
Yeah,
really?
So if you're on the main stage looking out, there's a grove of trees off to the left, probably 70 to 80 trees. And so we wrap those all with miniature Christmas lights, and then we light them up at night. So it's pretty cool, you know, when they pop on about 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's neat. And you replace all those lights every year?
Yeah. Well,
that's a lot.
Every tree gets attention, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Some get fixed up, a lot of them get replaced. So
okay.
Which reminds me, I got to do that pretty soon.
I don't know if you know this, but the festival's coming up this month.
thanks for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's I guess a labor of love. You know, it started off. We didn't have a lot of electricity, so I would run an extension cord from the stage up to the trees, and I'd wrap like 3 or 4 trees, and that was it. And then it just kind of took off from there. And then one year they trenched in some power up to the middle of the forest. So now I got all the power I could ever want up there. So, but it's pretty cool. It's kind of a neat thing when it's all said and done, because it looks pretty nice.
Oh, it must be great. And a unique environment to see that kind of light, because you're used to, in Wisconsin anyway, seeing that in the middle of the winter and snow all over the place.
Right.
That must be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you next, Larry Liebel. What's another tradition that people look forward to at Larry Fest?
My favorite part, and it's not a formal part, is that the festival, the patrons' participation, and some of the things that they do to enhance Larry Fest. We have a gentleman who makes these great big bubbles, and the kids just flock around him, and he shows them how to do that. And these things are the size of Volkswagens, you know.
And also,
we got a group of folks that nobody knows who they are, but every year they come up and they get light sticks, and they dress up like stick people in the dark, and they kind of dance their way through the woods. You know, just quietly, and are barely noticed at first.
Yeah.
The sweet corn, everybody shucking corn. The community, that's my favorite part of Larry Fest.
Larry, what about you?
My other brother, this is Larry, and Jim, and he gets shiny coins, nickels, quarters, pennies. Throws them in the creek all the way down for the kids to find and have for them to have something to do. And I think this year we're going to have a sawdust pile with money in it. So
a sawdust pile. Wow.
Yeah. I could use some money.
I know, right?
$100 bill.
So tell me, people are interested in attending, where can they find tickets?
You can find them online at kavama.org. At our website, Also, you can call Larry Sobranek personally. It's 608-386-1448, or at Leo and Leona's Tavern and Dance Hall up in Newberg's Corner, outside of St. Joseph Ridge, east of St. Joseph Ridge.
Okay.
They'll have tickets there also. Those are for the 3-day event, $150 for all 3 days. We also have a Saturday ticket, Saturday only, for $75. You could buy that ahead of time with the same three. I should also mention, or email Larry at larry at cabama.org for his email address.
That's Larry Liebel. We've been talking with him and Dan Sobranek, who is a musician and involved in Larry Fest. And of course, Larry Sobranek, the Larry of Larry Fest. And I appreciate all of you guys joining us here on Newsmakers today. Thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to the festival. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall. We are here on the campus of UW La Crosse. And if you'd like to get in touch with us throughout the week, you can email me anytime. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. There are two opportunities to hear our show every week. We're on Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network, 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And of course, we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next time for another Newsmakers here on Wisconsin Public Radio.